As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This is Issues 2021. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Marty Miller, Executive Director of Botanica, the Wichita Gardens. Welcome to Issues 2021. Marty, nice to have you with us today.
Well, thank you, Steve. Great to be here.
Let's get some basics first, in case we have new listeners just tuning in. What is Botanica, and where is it located?
Botanica is a public garden. We're at 701 North Amadon, just on the west side of Riverside Park, and we're open 7 days a week, 9 to 5 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We're open till 8, and Sundays we're open till 1 to 5. Mm-hmm. And this year, from now through September, Tuesdays is free carousel rides after 5 o'clock, from 5 to 8. Ooh. And on Thursdays, admission is only $3.
Wow. Okay.
And normal admission is 10 for adults and 8 for children.
Now, how long has Botanica been open, Marty?
Opened up in 1987.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how are you funded?
We kind of earn our own way here.
Okay.
So that brings up a good point. I want to thank the community that came during Illuminations and supported us, particularly during the pandemic. That was the only event that we had last year, and it was so successful, we made it through. So it was a great Illuminations, and we couldn't have done it without the community support.
Okay. Are memberships available at Botanica?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yes, they are. We have a good price membership, too. In fact, the family membership's only $65.
How many? Go ahead.
And that means you can come anytime you want, except during special events, because it's our special events that we raise money with, and our special concerts we're going to be having, and so anything that's special outside the ordinary, it costs a little extra, but members get quite a few benefits.
In a typical year, Marty, how many people visit Botanica?
Well, in 2019, we had almost 300,000.
Well, what about during the pandemic? What was that?
Well, we just barely had, most of them came in December during Illumination. We had 78,000 come.
Okay.
So that was about it. Quite
a bit down from what you've had in recent years. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, give us a quick update on this past year, the pandemic, and what it has done to Botanica.
Well, of course, we lost our volunteers, a lot of volunteers. That's where our greatest need is, volunteer help. And then, of course, our revenues were way down, and then the attendance was way down. But you have to understand that when you close a garden and the people can't come, the plants still grow, and we still have to take care of them. So our costs continued on, the water costs, the plant costs, fertilizer, everything, all the labor costs and everything was done by staff last year. So it was a true challenge. We had a few diehard volunteers that came in, and helped, but we, our hours are just cut way. We probably lost 60% in hours from, well, it was more than that, more like 70% of hours from volunteers.
Did the gardens actually suffer from lack of attention, or were you able to take care of everything pretty well?
We were able to take care of it pretty well. We had a great tulip display last year. It was just beautiful. In fact, I did virtual tours. This year, we've got a great tulip display. In fact, we have 66,000 tulips in the ground right now that are in full bloom. So this week and next week, if you want to see it, you need to come out and enjoy the tulips. It's just absolutely gorgeous.
What about, are things getting back to normal again, pretty much, for you guys?
Kind of, yeah, where our visitation has picked up. And you know, we've experienced, particularly this last weekend when the weather was nice, a high volume, more visitors than normal. So we know that there's a pent-up demand out there for people to get out. And, you know, this is real important that people do get out, reconnect with nature, and start feeling normal again.
Okay. I want to talk about, we just talked about the Tulip Festival. That was one of the things I want to talk about. But tell me about wellness in the garden. I know you've got some exciting things going on regarding wellness.
Yes, and it's, and this is not only for the public, but we have a woodland wellness walk, which has signage in there that gives you things to do. And by the time you get through going through that walk and you do everything that's on the signage, you definitely feel better when you get through. And we have nature journaling. We have a regular walking program, self-guided meditation and yoga. And then we have a Wellness Wednesdays when we have a special program here that people can actually follow through and their staff that helps guide them. Then this year, the mayor's State of the City address was done here at Botanica on the Grand Lawn, our new Grand Lawn. This is actually our first event. And he announced that all frontline healthcare workers will get in free at Botanica by just showing their badge, and they can come and partake in our wellness programs. So if it's just a matter of coming here, meditating, walking through the gardens, feeling good, getting back to nature, that's helping our frontline healthcare workers kind of get their mental stability back, because we've all been locked up and we've been under a whole lot of stress, and this is a de-stressing program, particularly for them, because they sacrificed a lot.
You know, and you make a good point there, because of the mental and emotional. I know some friends who have had some real problems, and this is kind of a healing thing you're doing then, huh?
Yes, and we're doing it for the entire community, because I mean, even working in an office trying to keep things going, it has been so stressful.
Mm, yep. Hey, tell me about the big bugs. The big bugs in particular.
Oh, yeah. So we have 12 big bugs that will be here, and this is really going to be a lot of fun. Starts in May, and it'll be here all the way through September. And we've even named our bugs, like the centipede. Her name is Penny. Penny the centipede.
Okay.
And I didn't know this, but did you know that centipedes never have an even number of legs? They're always odd pairs.
Well, that's why they stumble and fall down so much, I guess. No, I did not know that.
And then we have Drake the dragonfly,
okay.
Annie the ant, Buzz the bee,
okay.
Perry the mantis, Charlotte the spider, Turbo the snail,
yeah.
Molly the monarch, John the beetle, get it? John,
yeah,
the beetle.
The beetle, yeah. Or Ringo.
Paul the dung beetle. We even have a dung. You know what a dung beetle is, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay. And Mo the grasshopper.
Okay.
And Herbie the ladybug.
Oh, those are, hey, who comes up with these ideas?
Well, I have a very creative staff, yes, I tell you. These guys, we'll sit around and just think up stuff all the time.
All right, you're listening to Issues 2021 on the Odyssey radio stations. Our guest is Marty Miller, Executive Director of Botanica, the Wichita Gardens. Marty, tell us about Symphony in the Garden.
Well, this is the event that's coming up on May 14th, which is sold out. It's sold out like in 3 days. It sold out. It was unbelievable, the response that we had. But this is a beginning of a partnership between Botanica and the Symphony to do outdoor concerts. And we certainly are looking forward to doing more. We're getting ready to add to the stage area. Right now it's just a flat stage with no top on it, and we're getting ready to add that. So we're creating a great outdoor venue for things like the concert, and we're trying to partner with other venues and activities throughout the city, like the symphony and theater and that kind of thing that we'll go here. There'll be a dance group out here this weekend. And so we're doing all kinds of things that are bringing in other activities and other attractions that will be here.
Tell us about Coke Carousel Gardens.
Well, it's a large garden, and it surrounds the carousel building. And it also houses the Grand Lawn. And one of the things that we're working on that will be coming is these adult swings. So when you swing on them, they're made for adults by an artist out of Canada. And when you swing on them, they actually play a tone. And if everybody swings together, it will actually play a song. And they light up, and I've seen these. In fact, there was a traveling one down in Oklahoma City, and people were lined up just to swing on those swings.
Wow. Great. That is an interesting idea. I'm looking forward to that. Wow.
And then in that same area, there's going to be a barefoot garden. So you can experience walking barefoot through this area, which will have like soft, rounded stones, moss, and that kind of thing. So you're reconnecting, basically. Because remember when we were kids, we used to run barefooted everywhere?
Yeah, but so you won't have any broken pop bottles in there, will you?
No, no many broken pop bottles. nothing challenging like hot coals or broken glass or anything like that.
Well, one of the popular attractions is the children's garden. You get a lot of comment on that?
Yes, we have one of the premier children's gardens in the country, and this year is its 10th anniversary. In fact, we'll be doing a special anniversary around the end of June. And we're adding a few things to it and keeping it fresh. And it's a place where adults interact with children in the garden. And that's one of the special things about the children's garden. It was actually made for adults. Because when you walk underneath that rainbow, something magically happens, and you become a kid again.
Now, Tom, do you get many tours, school tours, anything like that?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, in fact, they're already started. Okay. The tours are lined up like crazy right now, so we sure do.
Where do most of your visitors come from? Are they from just locally, or do they come from around the area, Martin?
Well, we had even 19, we had like 30 some different countries that visited here. And they're all over the country. And there's people out there that visit gardens. And we've become one of the top gardens in the country. We were ranked number 6 by USA Today as the number 1 Christmas light display in a garden. Mm-hmm. And we've also been recognized as one of the top tulip displays in the Midwest, and with the carousel building, with the carousel, that's a whole story all by itself. That was very fortunate that we accepted and received the Joyland Carousel. We refurbished it, put it in a great building. The children's garden, and then our Chinese garden is absolutely outstanding. Mm-hmm. And people come from all over to see that, so they're great exhibits, and it's the gardens are different. Now you go to some place and you ride the ride and have a good time and everything, but people come here and they'll remember being here because it's it gives them so much emotional feeling when they're here. So gardens are special.
Tell us about parties such as weddings, things like that.
Well, we are in the rental business, and the weddings have just taken off already this year. We have booked quite a few. We've already out and dollar wise, we've already gone over our budget that we had projected, and it's been amazing how the recovery is starting to happen, and things are happening fast. And I think other businesses are experiencing this as well. Like the baseball game, WSU, 7,500 people went to the new stadium.
Yeah.
Who would have guessed? That same day, we had over 1,500 visit Botanica.
So things are coming back.
Yeah.
Does the future look good for Botanica? Any brand new ideas? You've given us a couple of great ideas. Anything more?
Oh, yes. We are planning, because our parking lot's going to start a new parking lot on the south side of Botanica next to the Cowtown parking lot. That's going to start up in June, and when that's finished, we'll start having the entrance be on the south side. And also, we have plans to build a new entry building that will house a permanent butterfly house and another event area that will overlook the grand lawn. So it'll be a really cool place to be during concerts. And of course, it'll be next to the fireside patio that we have, which is another rental space. It's a perfect, beautiful space for weddings and that kind of thing. Then, of course, our stage, the plans that we're doing for that, it's just going to be astronomical in the future. It's going to be great.
All right. So a lot of great ideas, new ideas, and things. It sounds like you're pretty optimistic after a really bad year. How have you been during the year? Do you have any of those times where you got kind of depressed about things there, Marty?
Oh, you know, last year when I was doing virtual tours by myself with my cell phone out in the tulips when nobody else could see it, it just broke my heart. Mm-hmm. It did, and then the other sad thing that happened this year when we had that long freeze, and we lost our heater in the greenhouse where we store our tropical plants. That heater went down on the worst night possible, and we lost the majority of our tropicals, like the banana trees and the ponytail palms and things like that. And that was like, to us, it was like losing part of our family. And so the cost of the replacement cost of that was not fun. But fortunately, there's another thing. People stepped up. And we had we announced it on Facebook, and we did a GoFundMe page, and we've actually raised about $27,000 to replace those plants, which cost a lot more than that to replace them. But we were amazed at the support that Botanica has from the community to help bring us back to recover from our losses.
Do you need any volunteers, Marty?
Yes. That's one of our biggest challenges is volunteers right now, because most of our volunteers in the past have been, you know, elderly, retired folks. A lot of them aren't ready to come back yet. But yes, we need help for our events. We need help, like, for the concert that's coming up. We still need volunteers for that.
I'm going to have to cut you off because we're running out of time, but things are going well. And thanks for being with us, as always. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Marty Miller, Executive Director, Wichita Botanica. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Hey, friends, it's Karina Delgado from The Morning Drive on 94.7 The Drive with a special treat for you on this Earth Day. We got to speak with M. Sanjain, the CEO of Conservation International, to have a deeper discussion about Earth Day, how we can help, and the effects of the pandemic on our planet. Let's dive right in. Going to be honest with you, things are looking real different than they were last year around this time. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that, please?
Well, you know, honestly, like last year, we basically had to put Earth Day on hold. So all the celebrations, all the events, all the planning, you know, we were facing an uncertainty in terms of what our future looked like of unparalleled proportions. And so many of those activities were delayed or kicked back. The challenge, of course, is that, you know, this is quite literally the most important decade for humanity. Science is very clear on this. What we do over the next 10 years will affect the course of our planet, of humanity, for probably the next 300 years or more. So we're now already 1 year back. It's almost like doing a 10 lap race, and We haven't left the starting gate, and one lap's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of urgency to our steps this year, and I think we really need to get going.
Well, speaking of that one lap specifically, I think a lot of people are under the impression that we are ahead in this race because of the pandemic, but I heard that that's not necessarily true.
Yeah, no, not necessarily true. So I think it's a mixed record. So certainly some things about emissions in terms of climate change did tick downwards. So we obviously traveled less by air. Cruise ships were in harbors. So even industrial production dropped. But the world's coming back with a bit of a vengeance in kind of the good way. Like, you know, production is ramping up. And I think people will be in a hurry to catch up. So I don't see that trend sort of lasting very long.
Mm-hmm.
I think more worryingly, this past year, you know, things like deforestation, forest fires, illegal poaching, things like that, activities that harm the environment actually ticked up in many places because there were fewer people watching, because there were fewer resources available for monitoring. There were fewer park guards. There were fewer people in the forest.
Sure.
And so what you're finding is a real mixed bag, whereas, you know, in some cases, yes, emissions did increase, but in other cases, it actually went up. And my big worry is that as next year, as this sort of next, you know, year opens up before us, we don't go back to making the same mistakes we've done for the past few decades.
Right. It's time for us to move forward for sure. We got to learn from our mistakes. Can you speak for a moment about what's going on in Kenya?
Kenya, you know, to be honest, has a fairly strong park service and a fairly strong conservation community. So ethics on conservation are pretty strong. But, you know, a lot of Kenya, a lot of the parks, a lot of the protected areas, the natural areas, are really dependent on tourism,
mm-hmm.
ecotourism, if you like. And when tourism came to a halt, some of the most fabled landscapes in Kenya, like the Masai Mara Game Reserve, you know, where if you, you know, turn on television and watch it, you'll see, you know, the wildebeest migrations crossing the river, you know, all of those huge migrations of animals take place essentially on community land. And the reason these communities end up protecting this landscape is because they're getting revenue from tourism. But that went to almost zero last year because international travel, you know, came to a halt and people couldn't go there.
Oh, I see.
So we, Conservation International, along with some others, stepped in. And in that case, we provided a loan called the Mara Rescue Fund, basically a loan program to tide these communities over until we think tourism can recover and you know, bring back some funding to these communities.
Well, that's outstanding. So obviously doing big things with Conservation International, but small things make a difference too. So can you tell our listeners, what are some things that they can do in order to help on Earth Day?
Well, I urge folks to go check out our website. So, you know, visit conservation.org/tips. Mm-hmm. And we've got lots of little tips and tricks for you to reduce your impact on Earth Day. I think for me, you know, as I try to navigate this, I think small actions and big actions both matter. And you got to do them both. It's almost like being a conscious consumer or being a conscious citizen. So first and foremost, I would really urge everyone to get a little bit involved. You know, dip your toe in. Get to know a local organization or international organization like ours or any of the others. Just get a little more informed. In terms of your own personal life, the thing that I really watch for now is what I cook, how much food I waste. You know, it turns out that your home really is kind of the big way in which you have an impact on climate. And if you're smart about what you buy and smart about how little you waste, you not only save money, but you're actually saving the planet as well. And then when you think about travel, you know, I know for a fact that I am obviously going to travel for work in the future, but I'm going to do fewer trips. I'm going to stay in country longer. So when I go, I'm doing fewer flights, but when I'm there, I'm taking more time to really learn about the place. So change those habits just a little bit as well. And then support companies that have high environmental standards. One of the things that I really noticed last year was virtually every corporate partner that Conservation International works with, whether it's MasterCard or Apple, you know, or P&G, they didn't stick with it. They doubled down. they really accelerated their environmental commitments. So ask companies to do that, support them, and then, of course, you know, politics does matter. Get engaged. Ask your elected representatives what they're doing about nature, what they're doing about the environment.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time today. And for our listeners that would like to get more involved, you can log on at conservation.org. Brought to you by Odyssey's One Thing program.